Bible tonight to the book of 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter number 7. As we continue on in this study, in the Bible study in 2 Samuel on Wednesday night, we are going to try to cover the entire chapter. But there's a thought here tonight that I think is important that we can understand and get a hold of. And we're going to look at the story about David having a desire to build the temple and God telling him no. The title of tonight's message is, What to Do When God Says No. You ever been into a spot where you think that you're going to do something for God and you think that you got the right heart and you got the right desire, you got pure desires, and God still says no? Something we thought would be a good idea, something we thought would bring glory to God, something we thought would honor God, something we thought was best for our lives, and you still hear the answer no. As Brother Potter was giving testimony tonight, there was different places that he thought that he might do and things in his ministry, and he never had peace. I think about Paul there wanting to go to that Asia area, that Bithynia, and I think it's Acts, somewhere in around Acts chapter number 16. And then he kept on saying, I'll go here. And Holy Spirit kept on saying no. And it's not the fact that there was something wrong with going to those places. It's just that God had a different plan for him. And sometimes, even though our plans make sense for everybody else, it's not what God desires. And in this passage of scripture, there's a lot of good things we could take and pull out, but David says, I want to build a house for God. And God said, I'm going to build a house for you instead. David was living in a palace, and when looking upon the palace and looking around this big, beautiful house he had, he said, well, how can I live in such a big, beautiful house? And God's, as we remember last week about the ark and how the presence of God, how that represented the presence of God in the ark, how David brought it back and he did it the wrong way, and how we can do the right things, try to do the right things the wrong way. David here is now trying to do something else that he believes is right, and God tells him no. And so let's see how it works out. Sometimes I know when God tells me no, I argue with him. Sometimes when I think I should do something, or I think God would be best for something, and God says no, and I'm like, why not? And we're going to see here in the passages of Scripture today, tonight, how David responded. And there's just a lot of good things in here. So we're going to jump right in. We're going to look at 2 Samuel chapter number 7. First thing we're going to look at in verses 1 through 3, the desire of David. The desire of David. This passage of scripture is probably one of the highlights of David's life. He's getting ready to find out how God is having the Davidic covenant here. He's going to find out that Christ is going to be in his lineage and that God comes back to him with some great and wonderful promises. He is king now. He's king over all of Israel. He is in a time of peace. It's in a time where he's enjoying that there is not enemies that are coming up around him all the time. David is here meditating. He is reflecting. And as he does this, he sees the blessings and grace, the grace of God in his life. And he wants to respond back by giving something. He wants to respond back by doing something. And there's a dream that's born in his heart. And this dream is to build a permanent dwelling place for God. Let's look in verse number 1 through 3. And it came to pass when the king sat at his house, and the Lord had given him rest around about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan. Now, this is the first time we see Nathan in the Bible. Many of us know who Nathan is, Nathan the prophet. I think he is a credible man. He has a lot of character. You're going to see in this story, he makes a mistake by saying, hey, go ahead and do it. God's with you, without really truly asking God about that or hearing from God. But you see, he goes back and tells the whole truth at the end of chapter number 7. God speaks to him that night. He also goes and confronts David later on. We're going to see with the sin of Bathsheba. So I think he is a man that is a honorable man. And here he is, this man Nathan, is the first time we see him in the Bible that's mentioned. Then Nathan the prophet, see now, he's talking to Nathan, his friend, the prophet, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. He says, I have this big, beautiful house, but God dwells in curtains, or the ark of God dwells in curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. Let's have a quick word of prayer and ask God's help tonight to settle our minds and hearts for what God has for us in this word tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you help us understand there are times in our life when there are things that we think we should do and we think that are right, that we should always look to you for leadership. We should always look to you for guidance. And there are times when you say no is because you have something better planned for us. Or even that we need to understand by faith that you see what the future holds. and exactly what you want us to do and how you're going to use us. And Lord, I pray tonight that we see how you respond to David and how your response to David was no, but God says, I have something better planned for you. And then as we see David's devotion at the end, he doesn't get angry, he doesn't get mad. Help us to understand that you're in control and that you do all things well and that we leave things in your hands and just continue to serve and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple things I want you to see about these three verses. Number one, he is being the stewardship of his desire. The stewardship of his desire. David's being a wise steward. He has the position of a king now. No one else could build the house of God. No one else could build a temple like that. Would not have the resources or the manpower, but a king. So he is being a good steward of his position. Sometimes when people have a position that's high and lifted up, they use it for unwise things. You're going to see later on when he should have been at war, at the time of war, he uses his position unwisely. He sends out people instead of doing what maybe he should have been doing, and that gets him in trouble. But I want you to get you to understand that we should be good stewards of our position. Whatever it is God has given us the ability to have influence over, whatever it is that God has given us the ability to make a difference in someone's life, we should use that. So you see in verse number one, he's king. Second thing I want you to see is he is a position and he's a good steward of his prosperity. God's given him rest. God has given him a great amount of riches also. And sometimes when God gives us a great amount of riches, we don't always use them as wisely as maybe David is interested in doing. David's looking around and he sees his house as this great and wonderful thing, magnificent thing, and he's thinking, man, this is far from the shepherd field, and he's walking around and he sees all these ornate things, and he's like, wow, this is great and wonderful, and then it goes to his mind that he thinks that the Ark of God is still dwelling in tents. And he's saying, and from what God has done for him, this is a gracious desire that he has, this is a godly desire that he has, I think he sees what God has done in his heart, and he says, you know what? I want to do something for the Lord. That's not an unbiblical thing. That is a biblical thing. The Bible says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. God wants our giving to be cheerfully. And I think that's what David is saying. He says, man, I have so much. I want to do something for God. And that's a good thing. But we need to look for David. And that's what we learned about last week with that ark coming back. Wasn't a bad thing, it was a good thing, but there's a right way to do it. There's God's way that he has planned for you to do it, and then there's a wrong way to do it. Last week we saw about how they went to the world's method. They did it the same way the Philistines had done it. Sometimes that's how churches today are trying to do the world's way. In the world's method, they're trying to use that new cart instead of doing it God's way. Here David is saying, I want to do something for the Lord, and you know what? God says no. You ever been there? I know maybe you haven't. I know maybe being in a ministry is something that God always puts things in my heart. I have people come up to me all the time with ministry ideas. I think we should do this, and I think we should do that, and I think we should do that. And lots of times are good ideas. And I says, well, I think we need to think about it. We need to pray about it. We need to see the Lord work, Lord's hand in this, and the Lord working at this. And there are a lot of great ideas, but many times there's not the labor force that goes behind it. And we have a lot of ministries that are here at our church already, and I believe all of them are led by the Lord, and that's the reason why we do it. Sometimes it'd be much easier just not to have any ministries and just have the service, but that's not what I think the Lord leads us to do. David's even here, his desire was something that God commended. It says in 2 Chronicles verses 6, chapter 6, verses 7 and 9, he says, now it was in the heart of David, my father, this is Solomon speaking, to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David, my father, for as much as is in thine heart to build a house for my name, thou didst well in that it is in thine heart. Notwithstanding, thou shalt not build the house. He is commended for this joy, this desire. And I tell you, there's nothing wrong with a good desire. But sometimes the answer is no. And sometimes you hear stories about, God, you feel like God's leading you to do something. And God's directing you to do something. And then it just doesn't turn out. The doors are not open. You got to go back to a passage of scripture like this and say, okay, God, my heart was sincere. I wanted to bring you honor. I wanted to bring you glory. Why didn't you let it happen? And we come to this passage of scripture. David has a heart desire, I think, to do something that's good and do something for the Lord. And the answer was no. Next thing, I want you to see how he shares the desire. Not only the stewardship of the desire, not only the support of the desire. David was gracious, and David had a godly desire about it. He shares this with Nathan.
And Nathan said to the king, go do all that is thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. I think there's some wisdom here. Nathan is the prophet. He is the man of God. David is keeping good company here. He calls Nathan. He calls Nathan. He not only does he call Nathan, he's calling a man that has good character. We remember that story about the king that had all those 450 prophets that would tell him whatever they wanted to hear. And then the other king looks at him and says, is there not a man of God? And he says, yeah, there's one guy, but he always prophesies against me. There was a reason. So Micaiah was the guy that came in, and you know, they were looking, David was talking to someone who was godly. That means the companionship of David was good. He had good men around him at times. You see him succeeding when he's around good men. You see the consenting in Nathan. He thinks it's a great idea, and who wouldn't think that was a great idea? Sometimes people come up with great ideas. In my own heart, in my own mind, I think, hey, this would be a great idea. This would be wonderful. Pastoring a church means that you have lots of thoughts and lots of ideas, lots of aspirations for the Lord, lots of things that you would like to see happen. But Nathan goes and says something. He says, for the Lord is with thee. He's saying, the Lord's good with it. Go ahead. We got to be careful when someone comes to us looking for advice, that we direct them to God and say, hey, make sure you're praying about this. This may seem very good. This may seem very right. And sometimes there's some logical things. Hey, should I do this or that? One is sinful and one is not sinful. That's an obvious answer. But I think it's important that we direct people to the Lord and that we pray before we start talking. I had a teacher in school that would drive me crazy. And I drive some people crazy because I try to do something similar. You would go up and ask this, he was a teacher for years, and his name was Joe Balger, and then he ended up being principal for years. You go up and ask him a question, he said, I'll get back with you. It could be a simple question, it could be an obvious yes, and all he had to do was say yes, but he'd always take 24 hours to think about something. I think he would take those 24 hours to pray about it too. And I know that would drive me crazy because I was, you know, class president. It wasn't very big school, you know, different things like that there. I had questions for him all the time. He's like, I'll get back with you. And he always did. You could bribe the guy with Mountain Dew. He always said, I think a lot better if you give me a Mountain Dew to go along with it. When it came exam times, people would put six packs of Mountain Dew sitting on top of their exam. So that way he would be in a good mood when he was grading the test. So, but it's the idea here. I think that God, you know, we, instead of rushing into things sometimes, obviously if it's something that's found scriptural, if it sounds something that's biblical, I don't think you need to pray about praying because you're supposed to do it. I don't think you need to pray about reading and studying your Bible. I don't think you need to pray about witnessing. I don't think you're going to get those things wrong. But when you want to venture out and you want to do something for the Lord, honor the Lord by making sure it's what he wants you to do. And Nathan here gives advice when maybe he should pray for. I think it's important that we don't give false advice. Remember David going and standing for King Saul, and King Saul says, you can't go fight Goliath. You're just a youth. Now, Saul should have been one fighting Goliath, but he gives him bad advice. He says, here, take my armor. If you're not going to do anything else, take my armor. And he takes the armor and he realizes, hey, you know, God's not in this. Be careful. There's a couple of things when you think about going to advice. Consider the person you're going and talking to. You know, make sure that they're spiritually someone you see the fruits of the Spirit and that you want to be like. Sometimes people go seeking out advice from people that are not right with the Lord, that are fleshly and that are not doing what's right. And then you wonder when you don't get good advice, you're wondering why. Sometimes people seek advice because they want someone to agree with them. They go to the wrong people. So just be careful when you give advice. Be careful when you get advice. Just make sure God's in it, because you see, this is an example that teaches us that even a good man says, that's a good idea. And I'm not picking on Nathan. I would have said the same thing. If someone came up to me today and said, hey, pastor, I want to pay off the church mortgage. Praise the Lord. I'd say, okay, that's great. Let's do that. And then that night, God come and spoke to my heart. You don't want to touch that. I'm like, I don't think so, Lord. He'll pay off the church. But, you know, God's never told me that. I never turn away that money yet. But if God told you to do that, that's kind of the same thing, is that there's times when God says, no, and I have something better for you. Next thing I want you to see, not only the desire of David, I want you to think about the denial of David. See, God is not against David here. He's for him. And he even reminds him of this fact by rehearsing some of the history, telling David, hey, look, I've done this for you. And you see this, the promptness. Look what it says in verse number 4. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying. Now, why did it come to Nathan and not David? Remember how God spoke through the prophets and not to the kings directly when it came to different things in the Old Testament. We saw that. It said, go and tell my servant David. Now, once again, the Lord calls him his servant. So the Lord's not messing with him. It's not like God says no to you because you've done something wrong. He does say no sometimes because of sin and doing wrong. But he calls my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shall thou build me a house for me to dwell in, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I command to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me a house of cedar? So God is just reminding him of the precedence that's in it. You know, God is saying, no, he has been like this because that's the way the people of Israel were at that point in time. And then you go and you look at what he says in verses 8 and 9. He says, now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people and over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee of great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I appoint a place for my people. So here he is, David's reminding him, and I think this is good when you're asking God, and you feel like God's saying no, and God's shutting a door you wish he didn't shut. You got to go back and look at how God's taken care of things in the past. God is reminding him through Nathan, saying, hey, remember, I took you from the sheepcote. Remember, I was the one that brought you up to be king. Remember, I'm the one that has caused all your enemies to go. I have made your name great. And sometimes when we are asking God and we're seeking God and we really want something, we really think it's right, and God is telling us no, we need to go back and remind us, you know, what God saved us from. What we would be if God had not worked in our life and if we had done things the way we wanted it done from the beginning, we'd probably be in a mess. I do not know, actually I have a good idea where I think I would be at if I did not answer God's call to preach. I see the people where I grew up and around, and it's not that they're bad people, but they're just not people that's living for God. God is not important on their hearts. God is not important in their lives, and they can pick up and they can take away. And I'm so much more thankful for my life and what God has done and the opportunity I had to minister. But there are times when I had to go back and look and say, you know what? This is probably where I would be at. This is the things I would be doing. This is how my family would probably be turning out if I did not do what the Lord wanted me to do. And when I go back and I see that God shuts certain doors and God opens certain doors, and there's certain things in my life that if I would have pushed myself through that door, you know what? It would have been a mess. If I chose not to walk through that door, it would have been a mess also. And I could tell you stories about how God provided and how God led and how God has made a way. And that's what he's saying to David. Go back and look. Don't take this that I'm against you, David. Don't take this that this is an insult. Don't take this that I'm upset with you. Remember what I've done for you already. So when you're considering when God says no, remember that what he's done for you in the past. Then he begins talking about what God's going to do. This is a great chapter of the Bible because this is where we see the Davidic covenant in here, and we see what God has planned for Israel. We don't have time to go through all this from that mindset, and someday maybe we'll come back and look through it a little bit more. This is more of the idea of what to do when God says no to you. But as we read this, look what God is planning on doing with his nation. And this is not just because you're going to see in these verses, it's not just something that is during that time period. It's speaking about the future, speaking about what God has planned for Israel forever and what God has planned for the throne of David forever. Let's keep on going. Moreover, I appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. You know, if you were thinking that was what the Lord was telling David at that moment in time, that meant that they would never have any more trouble. But what has Israel had? Israel has nothing, had nothing but trouble. This is a promise that's speaking of the future for Israel. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemy, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee a house. So David says, I want to build you a house. God says, I'm going to build a house for you. And it's speaking about how he is making this covenant with him. And then it says, and when the days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Now, this could be in reference to Solomon, because Solomon is the one who shall build the house. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So it's speaking of the kingdom of that Solomon's was going to build the house, but also speaking of the future, that the kingdom will be and that throne will be forever. And then it speaks of talking about the throne of David and talking about Solomon, I will be his father and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. So he's saying the difference between Saul's line and David's line. And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, and thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. So God told him no. But God also showed him the precedence in this denial. He showed him the past in the denial. But he also exalts David, and he empowers David, and he promises, there's promises in this denial. And that's what I'm trying to help, hopefully we can understand, is that if God's working in our heart, God's moving, and God says, I don't want you to do this, he's got something better planned for you. He's got something that maybe you don't even understand and that you don't even know. He promises peace here. He promises position. He promises the providing of the temple. He promises how he's going to work with the kings of Judah also. We see the proclaiming in verse number 17. Nathan was a man of character. Nathan proclaimed all of it. It says, according to all these words and according to all this vision. So Nathan did speak unto David. This is something we've got to be careful with, to speak the whole vision of God. Many times people like to talk about love, and God is love, but also people like to leave out the fact that there's conviction and there's repentance and there's things that are necessary for salvation and things that are necessary for getting right. And Nathan, as a man of God, he speaks the whole vision. He doesn't just say, God told you no, and make it doomsday. He doesn't go up there and say, guess what God said? God said this and this and this, and not tell him not to build a kingdom. He tells him both of those things, and he continues on. Third thing I want you to see is how David reacts to this. I call this the devotion of David. He said the devotion of David. Well, I don't know about you, but there are times when I don't get my way, I'm not happy. And sometimes even when I'm talking to the Lord, it's like, come on, God, I just want to do something for you. And the devotion of David, what does David do? David humbles himself. Look what it says. David hears the response that they said no. And then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And then he says, and this was yet, I like verse number 18, he goes in, this is king, he's king, and he sits before God. Sometimes I think that's what we need to do. It's just learn to get alone with the Lord and sit before him and speak to him and say, you know what, I am small, you are great, what do you want to tell me? And when we get disappointed or when we think the Lord's shutting a door or leading a door, what is it that you want? And do some soul searching. Ask God, you know, Lord God. And he says, he's humble. He says, what is my house? He says, who am I? Verse number 19, and this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? He's humble. He sits down before God. He praises the Lord. He recognizes he does not deserve this. And verse number 20, and what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. I think he gets to the spot where he says, I don't got anything else to say. I'm just overwhelmed. He's sitting there before God. You know my heart. You know me. You know everything that's in me right now. And it's, you ever been to that spot where you're overwhelmed with what God's doing and how special God is to you, and you just need to worship him and just sit there in silence, and the Lord knows you. For thy word's sake and according to thy own heart hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. And then he begins talking about the devotion of God, devotion to David. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee. I'm sorry, he's praising the Lord here, verse 23, when he talks about the devotion. Neither is there any God beside thee, according to all we have heard with our ears. He says, Lord, you are God, and whatever you say, I'm willing to do. And that's what we need to do. When God's shutting the door, we get alone with God, we sit before God and say, God, I'm nothing special. You are something great. God, I don't deserve all the goodness you've brought to me. You are God. There's none else like you. And we worship him and we listen to him. And then you see here the devotion here in verse 23. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people. I'm sorry, this is God's devotion. For you great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which shall redeem us to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. He accepts it. David accepts God's promises. He acknowledges that God is the only one that's able to bring this to pass. David reveals his heart by accepting this plan, and he says, Lord, you bring it to pass. All that thou hast said. Verse 26, and let thy name be magnified forever, saying, and he praises the Lord, a host is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee a house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. So we see in the story here that he is praising the Lord. He's saying, God, whatever it is you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. And he accepts God saying no. Now, you say, well, he made it a little bit easier. God promised him that he was going to have a kingdom that lasted forever. God promised him that, you know, Christ was going to be in that kingdom and that throne was going to be established forever. And he promises all those wonderful things about Israel. That makes it easy for David to hold on to it. That makes it easy for David to accept, okay. But when we got promises in the Bible, don't we? Doesn't the Bible tell us that he's going to work all things together for good? To them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. We got promises in the Bible that tells us he's going to meet our needs. We have promises in the Bible that he will give us the Holy Spirit of God and that he'll lead and direct our paths. The steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord. And we have to remember when God says no, we just have to accept that God's got something better planned for us. Now, the cool thing here is David could sulk and David could say, forget this. But David doesn't do that. You know what David does now? He goes and he prepares for the temple. You go to 1 Chronicles 22, verses 1 through 19, and he has the preparations all ready for Solomon. You go to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 1 through 17. David gives Solomon the plans and instructions of how to fulfill the dream that God put in his heart. God allowed him to still have a part in it because he was willing to have the right attitude towards it. Remember, he is God, and he knows all things, and he knows what's best. I'm going to finish with this story and we'll be done. In Scotland, a family by the name of Clark had a dream. Husband and wife with their 9 children. Wow, 9 kids. 9 children wanted to immigrate to the United States to make the dream, to make that dream a reality. They struggled, they scrimped, and they saved. Finally, they managed to accumulate enough money and attained all the paperwork they needed to take the trip and begin a new life in a new land. Ship reservations were made, and the family was ecstatic. Then, as often happens, tragedy strikes. 7 days before they were to leave, the youngest of the children, a little boy, was bitten by a dog. The bite wasn't serious. The doctor stitched up the lad in no time at all. The tragedy was the doctor, as he was leaving, hung a yellow sign on the Clark's front door. The yellow sign warned everybody to stay away. There was a possibility, a very small chance, that the boy had contracted rabies from the bite of the unknown dog. Their ship was to sail in 1 week. The family was quarantined for 2 weeks. They would have stayed behind. They stayed behind as their ship and their dream sailed into the sunset. The story says the father was outraged at what he felt was unjust. Unfair hand that had been dealt went down to the pier to stare at the ship set out. He was furious at God, frustrated with his son. He cried and he cursed. He stomped home in a very foul mood. He stayed that way too. Then only a few days after his vessel had left the port, he got the word that the very ship that was to bring them new life had sunk, and that the majority of the people died. As it disappeared, it had taken with it lives of over 1,000 people. And hearing the news, Mr. Clark's attitude was instantly transformed. Excitingly, enthusiastically eager, he hugged his son. Plainly, powerfully, and prayerfully, he thanked his God. Their lives had been spared. Their tragedy had been turned into triumph. Because God said, no, not right now. And, you know, there's stories and there's always illustrations. But if we went back in our lives, there were times when something happened that we did not recognize as a blessing. There are times when we wonder why God says no, or we wonder why God allows things to happen. I see the story of David, and I see David's heart, and it's spraying out that, hey, I want to do something for God. God says, not that way. I got plans for you. My plans are more and better than your ways. Trust me. In your life tonight, I want to encourage you. Trust the Lord. I know sometimes we want to do something and we want to get it done and we want to do it our way right now. But what happens when God says no? He's got something better planned for you. Let's go ahead and stand to your feet.